Director of Windsor Law Center for Cities, Dr. Annika Schmidt. Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
So before we dive into today's segment, I said it was celebratory. Today marks the two-year anniversary of our city building segment, which is wild. Can you believe it's been 2 years?
I can't. I think it's 2 years plus 2 weeks.
Plus
but,
two
you know,
weeks,
we're going to give it a little bit of, you know,
sure,
Windsor latitude.
Windsor time. WSD,
exactly.
Windsor Standard Time.
That's it. It's summer. You know, we're all in a little slow time. But no, I can't believe it's been that long. But when I think about all the guests we've had and all the amazing conversations, then that 2 years feels really real, and I'm just so grateful for all the conversations we've been able to have.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I've lived here all my life, 46 years now, and I like to think I'm somewhat plugged into our city, but what I've learned about our city from the work that the guests have done over time on the show and talking about it, it's amazing how much more connected I feel just by talking to some people who are working there in the trenches, doing the work and keeping it going and keeping it alive. It's so, so important. I love that.
Yeah, me too. And I think what you've been so great at doing in those conversations is what we call the connective tissue of cities, and really seeing how all these pieces and all the people, all the organizations, all the issues fit together, right?
Yeah.
A city is a microcosm of life. It's never finished. It's always changing. That's what you buy into when you live in a city. The challenges are real. They always are. And I think, we've managed a really sort of balanced view of the great and the challenges in this amazing city that we all call home.
Put you on the spot real quick here. Do you have any standout segments? I know you're going to think of 1,000 more after you turn the mic off, but any that pop out in your head?
Oh my goodness.
For me, I love anything walkability and arts based. I love those.
Yeah, I mean, I think those have been really great, and I think sometimes those are the conversations that feel hard in our community. I think you've been great at really keeping an eye on active and public transportation as a really key piece of that. And maybe I'm thinking about that. I just had a few days in Amsterdam, and thinking again.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
wonderful.
That's a very different context, of course, but it does just make you think a lot again about how we get around and what it means to be the Motor City, which we continue to be, but how we sort of shift that. And how we do it in a way that is, good for the economy, but also good for public health and quality of life. So I think those pieces really stand out. I think you have also really, and maybe tying into the conversation today a little bit too, indigenization and thinking about reconciliation is a topic that we've come to a few times more recently. And I think is one that can be challenging in our community. And I'm really grateful to you there too, that there have been some really sensitive conversations but also that feel accessible to people to just start kind of putting your toe in the water of those conversations.
That's great. Well, happy 2 year anniversary for city building. And I love collaborating with you on this segment. It's been a lot of fun and so interesting. And speaking of a lot of what you just mentioned in there, this is an amazing story happening. Since we're on the celebratory wave right now, University of Windsor will establish Canada's first national urban park hub. Amazing announcement. And we're going to dive deeper into that. I want to ask you about all of this because it's kind of all coming out today. But just to rewind really quickly, because there are so many pieces to this story, let's just make sure everyone is up to speed. What is the National Urban Park Program? Just to kind of get people back up to speed on that.
Sure. So this is a program of Parks Canada. We know Parks Canada. Most of us have had some engagement with Parks Canada over our lives. If you're someone that likes the outdoors, you've probably been out to Point Pelee, or you've had a chance to travel across the country to one of Parks Canada's parks. And the National Urban Park Program is a new program launched in 2021 by Parks Canada, which is bringing those national parks into urban communities. And I think it's a recognition of a lot of pieces that things that have come out during COVID, things that are, very relevant to us in 2023, understanding that from a climate and biodiversity perspective, people need to engage with nature to really understand it and to protect it. Understanding that from an equity perspective, not everyone has a backyard or a green space of their own. And so for many communities, COVID really shone a light on that and made us understand how important those green spaces in cities are, and making sure that people have that access. And then the indigenization piece is really, really strong through this program as well. Parks Canada is an amazing organization, but like every government, also has a legacy tied to colonialization. And this is also, I think has been a very intentional effort on the part of Parks Canada to bring that into this National Urban Park Program. It will ultimately be 26 parks across the country. There's one right now, which is the Rouge National Urban Park in just east of Toronto in Durham region. There are six in the works right now, of which Windsor is one, and we're the fastest moving one right now. So it's really, really exciting that we are going to be a part of this in our region.
Amazing. I love that. Catherine, why do big urban parks matter? I mean, how do you build a national park in a city, and how does a national urban park fit in to a city?
Thanks for that question. I guess I just wanted to add to Annika, the majority of Canadians live in urban spaces, and I think, humans are part of our ecosystem, and urban parks provide so much, as we know from COVID, so much source of mental health, well-being, emotional, cultural, positive benefits that I think anyone that lives in a city knows how important it is to have access to a park. And so we actually need it, especially in this region. Southwestern Ontario has very few areas of forest and prairies, and here in Windsor we have some of the last remaining habitats of that nature. So just from a biodiversity perspective alone, it's so crucial and important to have biodiversity in the city. And that, you know, recognizing it's connected to, you know, how we live and engage with our city. So it's so important. We value it for so many reasons. And I think we all, you know, we love this place. We love mm-hmm. Great Lakes. We love the river. We love the forests and the prairies, our lawns, our backyards, and really trying to connect it. You know, the ecologist in me knows that, you know, those are all connected to the things that make us really happy and thrive in our everyday lives.
That's one of our selling points, I think, is our riverfront. First of all, just who doesn't love being that by the water? I mean, I've lived here 46 years, and I still, there is not a moment where I'm either, when I'm walking by down that area, when I don't stop and just look in awe at it. The fact that still gives us awe. Yeah. And in the area, in Ojibwe, in the Black Oaks area, in any of our green spaces, it blows my mind how important it is. And you're right, what you said, Annika, how during COVID-19 it really put emphasis on how important those are. I went for a lot of long walks during COVID-19 to get out of the house. We all did. And I'm crediting that as a sanity saver for me, just being out in nature and that calming effect that it has. You know, I do want to talk about the big announcement and dive a bit more into what the University of Windsor National Urban Park Hub is. When we come back, we'll take a really quick break and come back. Dr. Annika Schmidt, Director of Center for Cities, and Dr. Catherine Febria, Director of Healthy Headwaters Lab. We continue our city building segment next on AM 800. Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. You're listening to the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800 CKLW. A trio of University Windsor faculty have co-led and established Canada's first research, teaching, and community engagement project focused on the creation of national urban parks. A big announcement today about the hub. Joining us in the studio, two out of three of the leads, co-leads, Dr. Annika Schmidt, Director of Center for Cities, and Dr. Catherine Febria, Director of Healthy Headwaters Lab. Welcome back to the city building segment. So the big announcement, and I know you've been sitting on this for a while, University of Windsor, in partnership with Parks Canada, proudly announcing the launch of the University of Windsor National Urban Park Hub. Before we break down all the co-leads and the roles in this amazing project, Annika, if you could tell us a bit, you know, what is the University of Windsor National Urban Park Hub? Because I believe this is a huge investment, big investment that needs to be celebrated today.
Yeah, we're so excited that this is coming to light now and we're able to talk about it. It's been a long collaboration, lots of conversations with Parks Canada, lots of work amongst our team to pull this together. It's a research and engagement hub that's focused around the three pillars of the National Urban Park Program. It's very much grounded in the local planning process or the local reality, which is the plans for the National Urban Park in Windsor, Essex. But we are also, as researchers and community engaged researchers, able to sort of bring that experience to the National Parks Program as well. So it's the first one that's being established in Canada. We're the only university-based hub focused on the National Urban Park Program. And we just couldn't be more excited about this collaboration.
Amazing. And there are three co-leads on this, and we are short one today from the Faculty of Science, Indigenous Knowledge Keeper, Clint Jacobs. Very sorry he could not be here with us today, but their role in this, Catherine.
Yeah, thank you. I have nothing but deep respect and a privilege to work with Clint Jacobs, who has previously worked for more than 25 years as a manager of the Walpole Island Heritage Center and has been a long-term collaborator on university projects. He really does help ground and remind us that the university can be this outward-facing space where we can establish and support co-management, and where we can really support the establishment of things like this Knowledge Keeper Table, where we can have conversations around how can we do work and partnerships in a good way. Indigenous knowledge and ways of knowing and doing and relationships with nature have really been the, you know, as the scientist and the ecologist, the prime example of successful community-led restoration and community-based projects. And so there's so much knowledge that we want to walk with and honor, and that's one role that Clint will help play, really creating the space where we can talk about stewardship, jobs, respectful inclusion of culture and ceremony and language throughout everything that we do in the National Urban Park. And I guess that's back to your question about what is a national urban park in the city. It's a really locally community-driven effort, and I'm hoping that we can honor that in this hub.
I love that. You know, what you mentioned there, ceremony and language and culture, and Catherine, the work you do, you know, measuring biodiversity and water quality and whatnot, the character I have in my head, and this is a character a lot, when you hear the word lab, is that, you know, it's very remote, solitary work, and it's really interesting hearing science playing a part in bringing communities together with all the things you mentioned, right. Culture, indigenous-led stewardship, bringing community. I love the marriage of science and community here that
right.
You're doing.
Thank you. And I think that's, you know, me as the restoration scientist, you know, rather than a white lab coat, we are, you know, waders in the water and boots with and walking around with nets in the around the nature that you find in the city. And that's our team. We're in community. We're getting to know water and plants and the habitats and communities that really help steward and take care of our ecosystems. And so our role will be to continue to measure biodiversity across the different habitats in the Ojibwe Prairie Complex, you know, even like roadside drains and farm tile drains. We're there to get to know, you know, and use our science tools for good to try and understand what is a healthy ecosystem, how is it connected to the rest of the city, and how are people connected to the stewardship roles that we need. And so I guess our role that the lab will continue to play is to help nurture and train and steward and understand nature and the people who want to have a relationship with it now and into the future.
Right. And Center for Cities role, and Annika, you're so involved in municipal and city building and city planning, all those good things that come together. Center for Cities role in all of this.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And really, you know, I think a perfect compliment, I hope, to the work that Clint's team and Catherine's team will be doing. And our question is really, how does a national urban park fit in the city? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pieces to that. The engagement piece is really huge. So first of all, just getting people excited about it, talking about it, talking about the research, talking about what this means for the community and what it can be. And so continuing those conversations and building out and making sure as we do that, that we're trying different modes of engagement, that we're using wise practices that have been tested elsewhere and testing new ones ourselves, figuring out what are the ways to bring people into these conversations who haven't always been a part. But there are also some sort of, you know, fundamentally substantive questions that we have to answer too about how you connect this amazing resource to the rest of the city. How do people get there? What kind of programming is offered? How do we deal with questions of sort of oversight and policing within the park? There's more than one municipality that's involved here too, you know, between Windsor and LaSalle. So all those kinds of questions. We're right at the border. We're at the, as you mentioned, we're at the Detroit River, and that's a really important site from a scientific perspective. It has a really important history as a site of, you know, of the Underground Railroad, a site of passage. And the park is facing right onto the river. So there's just all of those pieces that require a whole lot of hands on deck, and we're a hub. The name was chosen really intentionally. This isn't about any one knowledge holder holding all the knowledge. This is about how, you know, facilitating those conversations, building from the partnerships that we've built and continue to nurture over the last 4 years as a center, and then working with our partners across campus and in the community to continue doing that work.
I love that because it reminds me of a conversation while you're just speaking now, Annika. I had with my book club back in January. We did a Marty Gervais book on history, and it was Windsor Essex Forgotten Tales. And he said there's a story everywhere in every old building and every, you know, an old pipe sticking out of the ground. There's a story behind that, what that pipe used to lead to. And that the same can be said about nature and the area that we're talking about here. There's a story here. And I always felt the better we know our story, the better we understand each other, and the better we work as a city together. Yeah. And that strikes as what this is really all about.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd like to say if there's one thing we want the hub to help represent is that the hub is here to connect and it's here to help. And that's how we work together. These are going to be really, different things that haven't come together as a university partnership or maybe even here in the city. But I think that's exactly what we need to reconnect nature and reconnect people and to make visible all of these connections that we know are important. And that's just the ecologist in me.
Right.
You know, we think about like the fish or like the big large river, but actually it's connected to a buried, you know, culvert. It's actually connected to microbes and insects that all kind of come together to support the diversity of life that we appreciate, not only in nature, but in our city.
Right. And, you know, speaking of the university and research, Annika, you know, when we hear about research happening at the University of Windsor, same caricature, but this is in our community. This is about us within arm's reach of most of us. We walk by it every day. such important research going on right now, and what a great partnership and investment with the University of Windsor.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I mean, I think this is the university in the 21st century, right? Yeah. And this is a university that has a new strategic plan, Aspire, which is very much focused on those connective pieces, on being a community-facing, community-engaged institution. It's a legacy institution in our community. It's an anchor institution. And these are the kinds of projects, the kind of engagements that we're able to be strong on. Mm-hmm. I think that connective piece is really important. From a law and policy perspective, thinking about not just what the outcome is, but how we get there, what the process is really important. And this is an incredible opportunity to test some of those pieces. It's also, this is a $1.2 million investment in our community as well. So this adds to the weight of the Parks Canada and Government of Canada commitment to the community on this. And the more institutions, the more organizations that are involved at this point in making this park a success, the better it is for all of us.
It's phenomenal, especially at the time when, we have a new bridge coming. We were talking about the EV plants and whatnot is so important more than ever to talk about this kind of investment, I think. And what a great time to do it, too. All about engagement. What are in the next couple of years, what's going to be the main focus with the hub and the work that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, well, I think, I wanted to first acknowledge there have been so many really wonderful people who have brought and made this opportunity possible within the university, in the community. Like, there's so many actors, and I think there's been such a great validation that they look to the university and this hub as a place where we can test solutions. So I think it is about creating those relationships, setting forth on a plan where we can all move forward together. So really trying to find and foster a forum for questions to be asked and for us to try and find those answers. The hub is a place where, innovation is something that's, runs within Windsor's history. Like, how can we create something that is specifically made in Windsor that other cities can learn from when developing their parks? So a lot of it is around relationships and connecting those pieces, really trying to ensure that those who want to be on this journey with us have a way of participating, whether it is getting to the park or participating in the hub. We're really sort of setting the foundation so we can do that in a really collaborative spirit.
Well, hey, congratulations. A great day and a pleasure celebrating their second year anniversary of City Building Segment. Dr. Annika Smit and Dr. Catherine Febria, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Miigwech.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well,